Tailgate, Vinny Vince, and Clay have already had a jam-packed show. Lincoln Kennedy joined us to get to the root of the problem on that offensive line. Gave us some great answers. We talked behind enemy lines with Mary Kay Calbit of the with the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland.com. All right. The Plain Dealer.
The Plain Dealer. That's what it is.
That's the
great conversation with her.
The Las Vegas.
She actually gave us an answer that we have yet to be able to answer in terms of what to expect. And she basically said just to kind of grind it out. It's going to be a fight on Sunday. Two teams trying to get right, trying to get back on track. And it's going to be an old-fashioned fight. And obviously, someone who covers the Raiders and is hypersensitive, that feels like something that lines up well with Antonio Pierce and his group. Just, all right, backed in the corner. Let's see what you got.
And there has to be respect for the talent that Cleveland, this is a team that a lot of people were talking about. Well, it's a team that made the playoffs last year without Deshaun Watson, by the way, for a big bulk of that. It is Deshaun Watson, and I think any team that plays a Deshaun Watson quarterback team is fearful that this is going to be the game. So you have to respect that. You've got some talented wide receivers, some talented skill people. You've got a defense that is still pretty good, even though they're banged up a little bit. So there's, as opposed, I guess I'm saying, to the Carolina Panthers, where you're like, maybe.
So are you saying there's a little lack of respect?
I don't know. I mean, look, we're all here sitting here trying to figure out why, what happened.
Right.
Full honesty, because we'd be lying if we said otherwise, we don't know what the actual intensity level was from those players.
But you're saying at least this week, because of what happened, there should be a base of being like, okay, we need, regardless of whatever is viewed of Cleveland, this is still a good team. Look what happened to us.
Right.
That kind of thing.
It needs to be, right? It has to be. But again, we don't know if it was a talent issue on Sunday, if it was an approach issue on Sunday, if it was a flat issue on Sunday.
Well,
we don't know what it was. And I'm only saying that, Vince, because I don't know enough of this.
And that's fair. And that's fair. I personally do not think it was a talent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Call it flat, call it approach, whatever you want. In some shape or form, you can skew that as that was disrespect to Carolina for showing up flat,
sure,
for not approaching the game the right way.
Right.
You were disrespecting Carolina. You could view it as that. Either way, I agree with your point. I do think
and maybe outcoached.
And I do think there's going to be a newfound approach. I think that's a good word. There's going to be a new approach brought before this game. Want to hear from the listeners. Want to hear from the tailgaters, the nation out there, as we sit here on a Thursday ahead of game week.
Having no clue.
A tumult.
Right?
Neither
does Devontae Adams.
We still have more questions than answers.
For sure.
We have the same amount of questions as we did minutes after that game in week 3, right, Clay?
Yeah. I mean, has the picture become any clearer for you at 702-365-9200? Connecticut, saved Raider. Good morning to you, sir.
Well, thank you for opening up the gate, and I just stepped through the gate. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And I just want to say this. Remember the Titans? Yours on that football movie thing. Remember
great inspirational movie.
Yes, indeed. And I want to rewind the tape for about 48 hours to our dear brother, Jason Fitz. Love Fitz. And he said something. I started to call. He inadvertently trolled the saved Raider when he said this: I don't care if Jesus Christ is behind center.
Uh-oh.
I disagree. I beg to differ on that, and I'll leave it at that. But I will agree with him on this. He said the whole team came out flat. And which is another one of those puzzling, mysteriously games that the Raiders have had over the years. And it's like I couldn't help but, my conspiratory mind couldn't help but to think, and I say this comedically, was there something in the food or something in that morning? Or was it something coming through the vents in the in the locker room? It doesn't make sense. You know, coming off an upset win in Baltimore, you're on a high season opener. The stadium is blacked out. And just to lay an egg like that. But like, you know, a lot of the callers said, we've seen this movie before. Yeah. So it's just another one of those baffling things. But, you know, hang in there. Let's get to 2-2. 1-2 is a whole lot better than 1-3. We got this AFC conference, 3 games, you know, of AFC teams to deal with. And that would bode well for us if we can come out on the winning side of with what's coming up with us, with Cleveland and Pittsburgh and teams like that. But I'll say this, too. You guys took me back to the old country. You guys were talking Italian yesterday, man.
Always.
Vince, you... Now, I'll say this before I close. You guys don't know this, but you know it now. I started doing stand-up comedy.
Okay.
So I'm doing stand-up now, guys. That's why I got kind of a funny bone.
Wonderful.
In the last month, I was in Sacramento in the 916. Shout out to Raider Greg. I know he calls from the Sacramento. And I was watching in my hotel that one of those Ocean 11 songs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ocean 13.
I forget which one it was, but it's the one that where my man said, "I shook Sinatra's hand."
Yeah, Ocean's 11. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Maury.
Man, I'm sitting there. I love those movies, man. And so I'm just reminding of the songs and stuff like that. Dean Martin, man, the Rat Pack. So when I finally come out to Vegas, man, what's the best place to go to get some of that old Rat Pack type of thing happening, whether it's a restaurant or, you know, that memorabilia? We got Rat Pack memorabilia restaurants or anything like that.
There's a couple places.
Yeah, my mother's kitchen over in Summerlin.
That's a good show. But Bootlegger Bistro on Las Vegas Boulevard has big band jazz and a lot of memorabilia from that age, because the people that own that place were a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll hook you up.
I'll leave you with this. When the moon hits your eyes, I'll be pizza pie that some more.
Love it.
And then Dino, he'll segue to this trailer for sale or rent.
Very good.
Rooms to let, 50 cents.
Oh, king of the road. Nicely done. A little Roger Miller save. Thanks for the call.
Yep. God bless you, man.
YouTube.
So Save Raider was asking, you know, what happened? You ever watch a movie? It's kind of hard these days because when you have all the streaming services, anytime you pick a movie, there's a guide and it tells you exactly what it's about. But have you ever, like, put on a movie thinking it's one thing and it turns out to be just the most depressing or ridiculous? Maybe that's what happened. Yeah. Maybe the Raiders put on what they thought was an inspirational movie Saturday night.
And it turned out to be Marley and Me?
Yeah.
I feel like...
I love Golden Retrievers.
Yeah. Like, they thought it was going to be like an Air Bud sequel, and it turned out to be the saddest dog
movie ever. By the way, inspirational movies, how are we not talking about Apollo 13? You talk about an inspirational movie.
You talk about a movie that could be on at any point, and you just stop what you're
doing.
Because
that's a true story, number one. Number two, the ingenuity to get those guys... Because they were dead in the water. They were dead in the water, and they were able to figure it out on the fly how to get them back... Yeah, and speaking of which, how about the movies you really don't know what the plot? I feel like every one of the Marvel movies, all those movies, like, if what are the plots? Like, I'm just looking at action, and I don't like that. I need a good story. Are there really storylines to be following in any of those movies? Like, truly?
Not if there's a big explosion at your expense.
Right.
Who wants a story these days?
Me. I'm tired of those movies. Like, it's just like, I know people are into them. I'm not. People are into them. I'm
Vinny.
Like, it goes to Adam Hill's, his whole thing. He'll never devote money to a movie that isn't possible
in real life. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm being honest. Like, am I missing something? Like, I watch these movies. I go, okay, well, what's the core here? Like, other than bunch of fighting,
like to turn off the brain.
That's ridiculous.
And
I don't know. All right.
It doesn't take a whole lot of messaging to go on a roller coaster ride, which is these are. They're like entertainment escapes.
I get the roller coaster ride. At least I'm feeling I get it. But doesn't there has to be a little bit of something like the triumph at the end? Like, what is it all?
Why Rocky's awesome.
I thought Black Panther at least told a fantastic story. That's why I feel like it's the best of those movies, because that story was a great story, along with all the fighting and all those components. Everything else to me is just vague. And I'm asking a rhetorical question here. It's because nobody wants, like you said, no story. You know, like, nobody We're not into that. That's like, yeah, no, no.
People want to turn off and they want to see, wow, pretty lights.
Yeah. Another, wow.
Colors.
Another fight where the good guy's going to ultimately win. That's so, yeah. All right. That's, I've seen that one
John
a million
Wick's
times.
John Wick's got a good story.
I've never seen any of those movies.
He's fighting for his dog.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he's fighting. That's basically.
He's fighting for his dog?
There's four movies, right? There's four movies.
Okay.
Clay's like going, I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah, there is four, isn't there? Right.
There's four movies, yeah. And the basis of it is because, and this is not a spoiler, so.
You're not spoiling anything.
But anybody out there, this is not a spoiler. There's four movies, and the basis of it is because they killed his dog. And so. It's four movies of him just causing mayhem.
It's a long way from Death Wish, you know?
Charles Bronson.
Right, Charles Bronson.
Killed my dog.
Yeah, people attacking my wife, my daughter, but my dog! I'm coming after you!
What was the Clint Eastwood Western movie where they killed his family? Which one was that?
Yeah, The Unforgiven.
No. That was a great movie.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was going to say Josie Wales.
Yeah. Yeah. The revenge movies, those are pretty good. I'm honestly asking, am I missing something? Am I not smart enough to grasp what the actual story is?
You're too intelligent.
It seems like they throw a bunch of words together and fit it around all these weird, you know, fight scenes and stuff like that that are kind of boring to me.
We're lucky that we have a man to explain answers like that. It's Raider Mike out of the Rose City in Portland, Oregon. Good morning to you, sir.
Paisans.
Good morning.
What's up?
How are you?
Are you not entertained?
There we go. Maximus Aurelius.
You want inspirational movies? Gladiator.
Boom. Nailed it.
It's over.
It's over.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry about it.
It just is. Now, Remember the Titans is awesome. And I love Save Raider. He's doing my Rebel Yell impression and giving me credit.
Yeah, what is that like for you to hear somebody mimic you? I mean, because you only do it out of love when you mimic somebody like that. What's that like for you to hear somebody signal you like that?
And I'm writing my new stand-up, too. I've done stand-up in the past. I've been in movies. I've been on TV shows. But guess what? This is an inspirational call. Okay. I'm going more Gladiator on you.
All right.
Take that, Clay.
Falling down is how we grow. Staying down is how we die. End of story. Russell Crowe delivering that was just perfect. And that's where we are right now. That team is hurt. Deshaun is a psycho mess. I mean, you guys have been hinting at this whole show. Dude's got 240, whatever that guarantee was, 240 million?
A whole
bank,
lot.
Quarter billion?
A week's pay for
Everyone
LeBron James.
Is just hammering this guy over and over. He's checked out. Now, Max is hurt. Epps is done. Koontz is done. You want gut punches? Those are gut punches. So we need boys to step up now. We just do.
Raider Mike, it's not whether you get knocked down. What is it?
It's whether you get up.
Let's go.
Exactly.
It's Rocky.
Yep.
It's Rocky all over, man.
All right, Mike, give us a good one, brother.
Sell tomorrow in the arena tomorrow. I'll make the difference. Another Russell Crowe quote. I'm out.
So many genres.
I was thinking about the Henderson. What are we saying, Vince? The Henderson play.
Henderson playwrights? The troupe?
Henderson troupe. The Henderson players.
The
which
players,
I think
players,
I've been telling Vince I think he should do part-time. I'll do it with you.
Okay.
I'll do it with you. We could just go sign up and say, what's the next play coming up when we have a little bit of time? And just do it.
You can't be like a tree or something.
No. I want
you
speaking
gotta be
parts, Vince. I'm not going to be just standing around.
Clay's got to be
I
there, too.
I want the main
we're,
or the supporting.
We're a team here. Clay, you got to be there. And you can't be a tree either.
I'll do the intermission magic.
There you go. Yeah. He'd be the guy, applause, applause. No.
The great Clay Sony will now dabble you and marvel you with his magic rabbit.
We could do it. We could do it.
Yeah, what are the impractical jokers are called? They were called the Tenderloins. We need right. we need a yeah. cool name like that.
My son and wife are into that show, and it just
I can watch that episode. I can watch episodes over and over. It is as funny, if not funnier.
It's just
every
their laughs.
Time I watch
their
it.
Laughs bug me because a lot of times
their
I'm
laughs
like,
are the best.
No, it's maybe it's because sometimes I'm working. I'm like like all the like it's. Come on, control yourself just a little bit. It's just
Vinny.
Vinny. There's some fun. I'll give it. There's some. But my like yeah, they will watch the same darn episode over and over and over.
Yeah. My wife looks at me and goes, "You've seen this
I know.
Episode like
I'm
20
with your wife.
Times."
I'm
yeah,
with your
she
wife.
Looks at me and she goes,
"Like it wasn't that funny the first time, let alone the 38th time."
And I'm the guy that goes, "No, wait. Watch it again and I'll rewind it and then I'll laugh again."
All right, let's get. I don't know if Papa Meech can get the impractical jokers out in his mountain cabin in the Colorado Rockies.
Everywhere.
But Papa, welcome back to the show. Good morning. How are you?
Hey guys. You know, coincidentally, I do my own stand up every Sunday.
Oh right.
And, I stand up in front of my big screen TV and either yell or scream or get mad or throw something at the screen. So that's my style of stand up. Hey, you know, guys. What a season. When I called before, I said that I thought the first game was really a small letter M. And I think Vince agreed with me, a must win, and we lost. And I thought, there's no way the Raiders don't fly east for a morning game and win ever. And against Baltimore, it's not going to happen. And I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm just trying to be realistic.
Yeah.
I just thought our chances were pretty bleak. And then we win that game. And I'm telling you, when we win games like that and do the impossible, all those losses, all those seasons of despair, they melt away and you're like flying. When you're walking all week long, you're flying and big smile on your face. And even a bad meal tastes good that week. I've had a few. I'm traveling right now.
Yeah.
So everything's great. And I thought, okay, we're coming home. And we're going to be playing what some people are calling the worst team in football. And then I just didn't think we'd lay an egg in all facets of the game. And then by the time that game's over, and of course, I'm always texting, sometimes with 66 and my boys and another friend of ours, and we're texting during the game, and it's just like same old stuff at the end. And I can't quote some of the quotes because there's some little stuff in there that's not too
imagine.
Nice. Because we're just upset, and so what are we going to look at? I don't know what you know. Like Lincoln was saying so astutely, I don't know what to expect this week. I mean, we're at home, and I if we're going to be in this hole, I'd rather be at home to try to dig out of it. Because we go on the road, and there's only so many games we can squander a season, and then you can just forget the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this again, a small M is a must win, because I don't want to be too below 500. Then we're in those holes where we really got to start winning games. And I don't know what the answer is, guys, but, you know, it's just I'm going from, you know, skipping down the road last week to just kind of, you know, in the shallow water saying, which way should I swim? And I don't know what to do, but I'll certainly be rooting and hoping. But one last thing, and I'll tell you guys, of course, love the show, as you know. Mary Kay, you've had her on several times in the past years, Clay, and she's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
She just tells it like it is. She doesn't put icing on the cake.
Never.
And there's, you know, the cake doesn't taste good. And so I really respect her a lot and really enjoy when you have her on. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Papa Meech. Have a great day. Yeah, I mean, Mary Kay, she had seen some regimes of Cleveland, you know, like the winless years of not too recent memory. And she was not sugarcoating anything. She put that organization up to the fire and continues to do so. It's awesome to have her on.
Papa was grasping for straws right there.
Well, did you hear how he started? It sums
the
up
the whole.
It sums up the. It sums up everything.
Yeah, it's been.
He goes.
Yeah.
What a season.
Three games in.
Like, and that's the feeling that is unanimously felt throughout the nation.
Yeah.
We are 3 weeks in, about to be four. Not even a month, and the overwhelming theory is a exasperated sigh. What a season.
Yeah, and I just for me, this is really the first, I don't know, it just feels like the first time where I just don't have a sense of the team, you know. And you knew in the past what the warts were, you know, and what the strengths were. You know, you felt like the offense, you know, as you said, Derek checked down. Well, I'd look at Derek's stats and there were 4,000 yards passing and lots of touchdowns, but then some, you know, games where it just, whatever, got away from him. But I felt like the offense was always going to score points, you know, that I always felt.
Derek's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know there was this perception of him of checking down, which he would do. And
the conversation around Derek was, you know, that he had that MVP-like season before, and then he got hurt.
Right.
The viewing of him was like he has all the makings of a top quarterback, but was never able to break through in that top five or six.
But the stats,
or six.
Some of those stats were
the stats
pretty
were great,
damn
but
good.
That's what everybody
and the points
would
be up by 26, 27.
But that's what everyone would point to. Yeah. Like, oh, he checks down. He doesn't make enough plays to break through in that
top. Which he wasn't. I agree.
But yeah.
But I felt like the offense, whatever, was going to be able to score points.
I think the Raiders would take that offense right now.
Well, yeah, they would, but you know, they no doubt that they would an offense that could put like right now they're what 19 points a game again. Last year they were 19, or actually they were 16 points. So they've improved a little bit so far the first three games of the season, but it doesn't mean much in terms of the record. But again, you win on Sunday, you get to 2-2, regardless of how it looks. I'm done with they need to win this way and decidedly and emphatically. I don't know that where we're going to get to a point like that where they take care of business the way they need to take care of business or the way that we think they should take care of business. But 2-2 is almost at this point, they have to get to 2-2, right?
Yes. They have to win week three, and they turned out it didn't. You know what I mean?
Well, it turns out they didn't.
But
because there was another game.
Are you sure?
But you know what I'm saying?
Check the tape again.
But you know what I'm saying?
No, but I think, Lincoln Kennedy, who we had on the last hour, I put it in fantastic perspective. If you were to look at this first quarter of the season, which is how Antonio Pierce says he judges and bases everything off first quarter of the season. Preseason, if you said the Raiders are going to be 2-2, how do you feel? And if you said you felt good, then everything's still in front of this team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you look at it that way, you could say, well, that's, you know, just somebody trying to put a positive spin on it. No, it's a realistic spin. I think we were sitting here talking before the season kicked off saying 3-1 would be great. Four and oh is ideal. But realistically, 3-1 would be great. And there's a path to 3-1. 2-2, we can live with. 1-3.
By the way, can we have a quarter system in a 17-game schedule?
Obviously.
here's why I asked that.
Math doesn't need to make
sense. I'm coaching a basketball team of 9 and 10-year-olds.
You are?
And no, not right now, but I was. I'm saying, you know, so back in the day, and it was a 5-quarter game for whatever reason.
That's weird.
And so I'm saying I'm talking to my team. I'm like, you're going to play this quarter. Hand raises up. Henry. His name was Henry. Coach, and this is a 9-year-old kid. It's not actually quarters. It would be periods because there's 5 of them, not 4 of them.
Ooh.
And I just give him this look. He goes, my mom's an engineer. I'm sorry. So when you said the first quarter of the season, I just remembered Henry with his big glasses. Coach, sorry. And I was like in the middle of my big speech. It's not really quarters. It would be periods.
The inspirational, motivational speech, your gladiator speech?
Right, my Apollo 13 gladiator speech. And he's like, just so you know, it's not actually quarters.
Ooh, that's another great conversation.
Because it isn't quarters. There's no quarter of a season in a 17-game
Best speech
season.
In a movie.
Ooh. I never really saw the full movie, but it's got to be any given Sunday. That's the best. Yeah, that's
Napoleon's just texted in about Pacino's Any Given Sunday speech.
Fantastic. Yep. That applies to every day
Kurt
life.
Russell's miracle speech is
that's a great one.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic. I mean, that's a great inspirational movie.
Are you telling me again? Anyways.
Now go out there and kick it. 702-365-9200. Coming up next with more of your thoughts on the text line. here on Raider Nation
Radio.
If
you blow this game, you will remember this for the rest of your life. The rest of your life.
You're talking to the Raiders?
Bleeping life. No. You know, we talked yesterday about how money was so prevalent here in Las Vegas with the whole NIL snafu. And it's just another reminder that money rules the world, and sometimes we're all in a position where we need some extra cash, like in a hurry. And maybe that's the situation that some of you are in right now, where maybe you got to find $500 or $5,000 as early as tomorrow, and maybe your credit cards are maxed out, and maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Well, honestly, don't worry, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now, so why wait? Here's what you do. It's so easy. Go to LendingStore.com. That's LendingStore.com. Fill in all the various fields. It takes about 5 minutes, but what will ultimately happen is their experts will help you find a lender that can help you get that money that you need, $500 to $5,000, and in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
I mean, it can. It's just all depends on your approach to it. It's definitely you can look at it like that. I think this team, we have to look at it like that for sure right now. I think look at it as a blessing. It's something that happened now, like you said, versus, a week before it's time to try to get in the playoffs or some, later in the season situation where you think you got it figured out and then it all just crumbles like that. That can mess with your psyche and, the team's mental a little bit. But, I think right now it's something we can use to snap back out of it, similar to the Vikings and then turn around to the Chargers game last year. And I'm not saying we're putting up 60, but that's the mindset, is to come out hot and, make the corrections that we didn't do last week.
Raiders wide receiver Davante Adams talking about the mental gymnastics that this team is currently going through as they try and prep for the Cleveland Browns at Allegiant Stadium in Week 4 and bounce back from a tough loss in Week 3. And I think that's always fascinating to hear from players, right? Is there instant recall of taking? And that's why we put such a premium on guys with experience, right? Guys who have been through the fires, the highs and lows, because they have that recall and they can look back to certain moments and certain years and be like, well, this feels a little similar to that. This is what worked for that game. And so for Davante to kind of just do that quick recall from a bad Minnesota game a year ago where the offense couldn't move an inch, literally, couldn't put up points, to putting up 60-plus and setting a franchise record. Again, completely different circumstances and different rosters and things like that, but that shows you the type of change on a dime that the NFL can bring. And it also shows you what the players at this point of the week, as they get ready for Week 4, how you have to turn it from, this is what we sucked at, we were terrible, and now we build back up, right? We get torn apart Sunday, even more so on Monday when we look at the film, and how do we build ourselves back up? These are the moments, those are the experiences you look to try and put that house of cards back together.
Yeah, for sure, and football is such a unique sport in that, you could go back to the Warriors' great days, right, and after a bad game, you just knew that Steph Curry could say, I got this. I'm going to put everyone on my shoulders, and we're going to win the next game, whoever that opponent might be. But as good as Davante Adams is, and he's a Hall of Famer, he's, I wouldn't say powerless, not going to say that, but this isn't a sport where one guy can just
he's
say,
reliant.
Yeah, on
a lot
whole
of things,
bunch
on
of other of players doing their jobs as well at a really high level. Kobe Bryant could take over a game. It didn't matter sometimes what other guys were doing. He's going to score 23 points in the fourth quarter and win the game for the Lakers. This isn't one of those sports. So him saying, I don't have any expectation, was really telling to me. It was almost startling, the frankness of that answer. I don't know. Like, if you were to ask, if it was just him, I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to torment whoever is defending me, and we're going to win this game. But he could do all of those things, and if 10 other guys didn't come correct, you could have the same exact outcome that you had on Sunday. So this is a very unique sport in that regard, and we've been preaching this, Vince and Clay. it's a collective effort with this team. It has it is for every team, but in particular, a team that's vulnerable in the ways that the Raiders are vulnerable, it literally takes a collective effort, starting from the coaches right on down to the last player on the special teams, to win games. And if any segment of that deviates or doesn't show up correctly, it's going to be what we saw on Sunday. By the way, Derrick Rose retired today, announced his retirement. Boy, when you talk about what ifs, I mean, he had a nice 15-year career, but,
yeah, but
prior
he
to the injuries, man.
I mean, he was a generational.
Looking at some
stopped.
Of the highlights right now.
Yeah, generational, couldn't be stopped. What was the first 3 years of his career? I mean, there wasn't.
I mean, he was and this is a guy that wasn't a great shooter, but could still, his athletic ability and fearlessness and ability to get it to the rack and make plays and still be an MVP.
He was a great navigator.
Man, he was good there for those few years before injuries.
15-year career?
15 years.
That's pretty impressive, I considering mean, the injuries that he went through and the drop, the decline.
Transitioned into a kind of a role player almost and a leader on your team, but not doing obviously the Derrick Rose things. But for the younger generation, like I don't know if my son's 19 years old now. I don't know that he got the full Derrick Rose experience.
Yeah, because
that
was
what years? Like,
well, 15 years ago. What are we in? 20.
Well, so it's like when it started out with the Tom Thibodeau Bulls, and you know, and you're really like having to deal with his first injuries. There were so many game time decisions that you weren't sure if he was ever going to play. You used to wreak havoc on the books out here because you would never know.
Yeah.
So you'd almost have to constantly keep that game off the board until you realize, he's not going to play again this week.
When he was healthy, he played every game like it was a 15 round fight, and maybe to his almost to
demise.
His
yeah,
exactly. But
a great what if player.
Yeah, great career.
It's Raider Nation Radio, 702-365-9200, here on the Morning Tailgate. Well, coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Simpson, Vinny, and talking about an insulin resistance program that they have going on here in Las Vegas. 702-365-9200 and up on X at RNR 920 AM.
Mama had to kick you know what today.
We're heading inside the tent with an injury update from the Las Vegas Raiders.
And with that great introduction, we go out to the Raider Nation Radio guest line to welcome in our good friend, Dr. Graham Simpson from Eternity Medicine here in Las Vegas. And before we get to the great doctor, I want to just thank him, quite honestly, for turning my life around. As those of you who saw me at Crust and Roux, I'm down about 65 pounds now. All my numbers are great, and I have Dr. Simpson and the great team at Eternity Medicine here in Las Vegas to thank for that. And we're going to get into some of that when I talk to Dr. Simpson. But what they do there is proactive care focuses on prevention and long-term health optimizing your long-term health, utilizes advanced diagnosis for individualized care, addresses symptoms and illness as they occur, and all of that good stuff. And we're going to get into that with Dr. Simpson. And if you want to give them a call, please do at 725-204-8972. They do great work there. And Dr. Simpson, welcome to the show. I truly appreciate it. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you, because everything is working. Everything that you told me would happen has happened. I follow the plan, and it's all working. And I honestly want to say thank you for that, Dr. Simpson.
No, you're welcome. I mean, it's my real passion. And what we're trying to do, obviously, is reverse a lot of chronic disease. You know, just for your listeners, I mean, I'm not sure many of them know, but 74% of adults now here in America are either obese or overweight. And 60% of these adults are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. So, you know, the problem is this insulin resistance. In fact, 93% of the population now is insulin resistance, which obviously kills us. 80% of us die from insulin resistance. All the chronic disease, you know, strokes, hypertension, heart attacks, Alzheimer's, even autoimmune disease, diabetes, erectile dysfunction, is all related. Many, many diseases, but there's really one solution. And that's really, Vinny, what you did. I mean, you've essentially, you know, taken yourself out of that pre-diabetes insulin resistance, and now you have a nice, normal you know, fasting sugar and insulin and A1C and all your numbers, your lipids and everything are fine. And obviously, you know, you're down. I think since June, you're down, I think, from about 266 pounds. I think I've got it here to about 204 now in September. So, you know, that's it's a very good over 60-pound weight loss just in 3 months. And I want to also, you know, sort of put out a little message. You know, more than 70% of calories now consumed by all of us here in America is ultra-processed. It's not just processed. These are like frankenfoods that are all coming out of factories. And the cause of insulin resistance is really excess sugar, excess grains, and very dangerous seed oils. That is really the prime reason of why we get, pre-diabetes and diabetes and insulin resistance, which is really the forerunner of all chronic disease that we die from here in America.
Yeah, and Dr. Simpson, can you explain what pre-diabetes is in layman's terms?
Yeah, I mean, the average doctor will look, and if your hemoglobin A1C, that's your average sugar over 3 months. If it's above 5.6, if it's 5.7 to 6.4 hemoglobin A1C, they'll say you're pre-diabetic. But once you go above 6.4, you're full-blown diabetic. But the problem is, Vinny, that many, many people have insulin resistance for 10 or 15 years before the insulin goes up. And a lot of the damage is being done because ultimately the pancreas gets exhausted and it can't put out any more insulin. So what happens? Your blood sugar then goes up, and then anyone can diagnose you pre-diabetic. But the trick is to look and measure your insulin resistance. We can do that very easily, inexpensively. You know, $40-$50 will kill you. It's not cholesterol that kills people. Most heart attacks is all related to insulin resistance and pre-diabetes and diabetes. So that is the number you want to know, not your cholesterol number. In fact, the higher your cholesterol is as you age, including your LDL cholesterol, the longer you live. So it's really about reversing this insulin resistance.
Dr. Simpson is here in Las Vegas. His phone number is 725-204-8972. I am living testament to the great work that they're doing at Eternity Medicine. I recommend it to anybody. I was speaking about you on Saturday when we got together. And I know a lot of people are interested. And if any listener, again, is dealing with what I was dealing with and what so many of us, unfortunately, are dealing with, please give Dr. Simpson a call at 725-204-8972. Dr. Simpson, thank you so much for sharing some of your time and expertise with us. You've cracked the Da Vinci Code, and I know that you're on your way to helping a lot of people, including myself, and I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Dr. Simpson.
Okay, thanks, Vinny. Bye-bye.
You can check out our podcast up online at lvsportsnetwork.com, as well as just download the free LV Sports Network app at the App Store, Google Play. It streams clearly each and every day on Android and iPhone. We're out of time. Join me tonight over at Chickies and Pete's for Thursday Night Football at the Sahara, the all-new Sahara Las Vegas, where it's always free parking. Dallas Cowboys against the New York Giants. Great food, great drink specials, including the crab and street corn nachos here on Raider Nation Radio.